Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Staying Relevant, the podcast with two bestest of best pals, although we have to share the tour bus and Pete wants to throttle me, but I am still going to say best pals. Peter, James, Jonathan, Joseph, Wicks, and Sam Thompson.
I will be swearing and I am probably going to be drinking because I need it. If you don't like that, go f*** yourself. Do we need to do that again, Edie, because you're having a little moment yourself over there? It's okay, you did that really silently, but bless you. This is the main episode, which will be going out on Monday. It's currently Friday when we're recording this, so we're two shows into the tour and we've got a full weekend of touring ahead. We will also be doing a bonus episode, which will be out Thursday, which you can watch on Sunday, and you can watch Monday's episode on Friday, which makes it Monday, Thursday, Friday,
Sunday.
There we go. Make sure you follow us, subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us at Staying Relevant Podcast on Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok.
Yeah, he got it, baby.
Yeah, that's the one. Rate, review, do all of that crap. Actually, put some reviews in about the tour as well.
If you've been to the tour.
Yeah, well, you can't if you haven't been.
Yeah, or you just lie and just give us a good one anyway, because that'd be great. We'd love that.
Yeah, Sam does love that. He needs constant fluffing, so it's nice for him to read them things, because it sets him up for doing one of his stories. We just go, it's going to be a good day, guys. I can feel it.
I do like
and
those
I'm
stories.
And I'm BX.
I do like that. Those stories are great.
Anyway, right, let's crack on. This is back to our day job, the bread and butter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sam, how's your week been?
Well, to be honest with you, it's been fucking amazing.
Okay, specifically, we're going to talk about, because again, I know what you've done there. You've just put the cars to the side a lot at the tour. So this bit is your opportunity to talk about...
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
So week's been amazing, but we're going to come to that later. But just last weekend, I did something which will long live in my memory, probably in one of the upper echelons of things that I've ever done in my entire life.
Echelon.
I did Saturday Night Takeaway. Yeah, it was so fun.
Talk us through it. Right, I mean, my observations from it were that I was busy watching a film and then was getting non-stop tweeted and whatever else about it. So I felt like I had to put it on. I did. And my first observation was that you were well-dressed.
Yeah, I know. Pete messaged me. He messaged me going, good outfit.
And that is because he used JLS's stylist and stole the trousers,
yeah,
which I believe he might be wearing today.
No, these aren't
the
trousers.
These are stolen from Love Island.
These are stolen from Love Island,
These are the ones that you followed through in.
Yeah,
got ya. So,
they actually are, weirdly. That's wild.
Yeah, they have been washed. But yeah, stylist was great. I then, obviously, you sang with JLS, which was amazing.
That was so cool.
I was expecting you to be really bad, actually quite good.
And why was I good, Pete?
Because Sam had a fucking vocal coach. He hasn't told us this, but Sam has been having vocal coaching for his performance.
Yeah, it was. I didn't know I was going to have it. Just put it out there now. I thought I was just going to turn up.
He requested vocal coaching.
I did not request. But when he was there,
JLS requested that Sam have vocal coaching.
And I danced choreography.
Wow.
Yeah. And I messed up for the first like 3 hours of the thing. I was like, oh no, I'm going to fuck this up live on TV. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't know how many people, so it's like 9 million people watch this show. It's the biggest Saturday night show. And so I wasn't aware of like the scope of it. And so I've turned up and I'm like, yeah, we'll just have a bit of fun. And the vocal coach goes, no, mate, you're sort of representing the brand a little bit here. And so he put a straw in my mouth and started going, right, I need to go. And so I started doing that and buzzing the straw. And then
do it again for me.
So he put a straw in my mouth and go. And then he went, mate, your face is so tight. He went, you've got to relax your mouth. So I started proper, you got to really relax your jaw and just really let it out. It was wild. I didn't know you had to do any of that stuff. And then we did like church hymns together, which was amazing. Yeah. So we all started humming in a fucking rhythm. Me and JLS humming it. Do you know what? I'm going to get it up.
Okay.
Pete, fill the silence.
Right, go on then, get on with this.
How cool is that? That's me and JLS doing like, ooh.
On stage, though, very, very good.
Yeah.
You got all the choreography right.
Yeah, I was terrified by that. So nervous.
There was a lot of jumping.
There would be. That was just excitement and joy, you know, coming out. And I stood on the back of the stage with my mic and I went, this must be how pop stars feel.
Well, you were a pop star for a night.
I know, it felt really fucking cool. And then we did the left, right, up, down, got that, like, bang on as well. And at one point, actually, when we were doing the rehearsals, though, the vocal guy came up to me again and went, Sam, man, I'm going to be honest with you, like, we've got to make this better. And that, and I panicked at that point. But on the night, as Pete said, it was so fun. I loved every second of it. I can't tell you how awesome it was. And, like, me and Aston became quite good mates as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look?
No, I was just.
I thought we were doing a little bit of choir there.
No, is it any more?
Well, no, that was it really. And we just did a couple of TikToks together, met Ant and Dec again, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, well, you're like best friends now, aren't you?
I feel like we kind of are, actually.
Yeah. You did a TikTok with Ant and Dec, actually.
Yeah.
Which was really good. I'm glad that you did that because we did the same TikTok the day before. So there was absolutely no point in me doing it because you just repeated it with Ant and Dec. So I'm really glad that I spent 2 hours at your house with Zara doing that one. That was a real fun highlight for me.
But Pete watched it, and I think that's the overarching theme, really, of this podcast. It's friendship and bonding. And Pete watched it and he sent me a really lovely message being like, mate, I just watched you. You're amazing. And I went, thank you so much. It means so much to me. And he hasn't even got anything to say to that because he did actually say that. And it was really, really awesome. And I just had the best time ever. And yeah, it was so cool.
The reason I don't send him nice messages that often is because he blackmails me with them. So I'm going to stop doing that now because I've sent you a fair few over the weekend, actually.
Yeah.
Nice messages.
Yeah. It's been really awesome. It's been a great week for me, actually.
But yeah, no, really good. And genuinely, you were amazing. And it was nice because it was something that obviously started in the jungle. You saying that you were going to perform with them, and you did.
And I did.
And you really, really did on the biggest show on TV.
We did it. We actually did it.
You fucking did it. Well done. Any future performances planned?
Actually, there's been clamour for me to be on tour with them. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I don't know if I have it in my schedule, but like, I will if needed. They haven't asked yet, but there has been clamour. That's okay. A weird word, if you clamour.
Yeah, that is a weird word, actually. Yeah. Clamour for you to go on tour with JLS. Yeah. Excellent. So you may actually become the fifth member.
Possibly.
And have you, your colour purple?
Yeah, purple's the colour.
Yeah.
So that's been officially given to me. I told you we're still getting
it's
our
been officially.
Condoms.
So JLS have officially given you the purple
colour?
Well,
not officially.
So it hasn't been officially given to you?
No, not really. But
okay, so in your heads, it's been given to you.
Oh, yeah.
But they've sort of said, yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I can see them getting a bit nervous because, like, shit, this guy's going to muscle in on our group.
Yeah, but you got on with all of them.
Yeah, there was
the first time you met all of them together, no?
Yeah, I'd never met two of them before, so I was so nervous. Actually, no, I'd never met Aston, so yeah, only Marv. So I was literally like, oh god, this is a bit nerve-wracking. Then when I saw them and they came in and they were like,
do you feel like you fitted in?
Do you know what, the first part I sort of stood in the corner a little bit because, like, we were all in this green room and
a little
I was
bit like school.
Yeah, it was exactly like that. Yeah. I was like, can I sit with you, kind of,
because you've never been part of the cool club, have you?
Well, and then actually weirdly, the moment they come in, the choreographer, without giving me any time to sort of rehearse, like, on my own, was like, oh yeah,
just threw you in at the deep end.
He did. He literally went, right guys, we're all going to start from Sam's entrance. I'm like, fucking hell, mate, give me a sec.
I know you, and I know you didn't say that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, exactly. I know you so well, because I would have gone, fuck off, mate.
Yeah.
You, yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. And then Aston told me he wasn't going to look at me. I was like, what do you mean by that? And he turned around and went, sorry, mate, I'm just going to laugh. He was like, so you don't mind if I don't look at you, do you, when I'm doing my bit? I went, okay. So he's like singing with his head to the right.
Well, genuinely, mate, I think you smashed it. It was an amazing performance. Thank loved you. By everyone. everyone.
Oh, it was so cool.
So the jungle reign continues. Well done to the king.
Oh, that was embarrassing.
I was hoping for a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, again, Chaz is...
We've had Charlotte with us on tour and she's fucking over it.
She is drained.
Yeah.
So well done to the king.
Actually, Anna Dett were talking when I said this, spoke to them. We're like, yeah, we're looking at sort of new people, obviously, to come into the jungle now. And they were like, you know, we're already looking. I went, no, don't look yet. I said, it's too early. What are you doing? You don't want to look now.
You only get a year before you come back down from your kind of...
You're going to love this, actually. I said to them, boys, if you want anyone to like come out and like do some bits with you, like I'm happy to fly out. And they were like... Your time is over. just enjoy it while it lasted.
You are going to be that guy that in 10 years time
still talks about it. Yeah,
it still talks about I was king of the jungle, and then wasn't that like 10 years ago?
I'm going to be that guy, and Pete, you'll know this. You would have seen this on Instagram. You know when like someone's done something and
in the bio.
Every single year when it comes around again,
I remember my time.
Yeah, I'm going to be that guy.
Remember the crowning time. That
good luck to everyone who's going on the jungle this year. Most magical year of my life. Here's a photo of me winning it.
Yeah,
100%, 100%.
Right, so that was good. But let's get
that
on
was good. So that's Pete couldn't give a fuck. Right, that was good. Moving on.
Lovely. You had your moment on Saturday Night Takeaway. Brilliant. So let's move on.
How have you been? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? New show, actually. Josh Must Win.
Yeah, oh, mate, which is rave reviews.
It has had... Even The Guardian loves it.
That's wild.
But, yeah, I think we're quite a way through that now. Obviously, I've been on tour, so I haven't really seen any of it. But, yeah, it has got really good reviews.
The Guardian, like, it must have unreal representation.
Yeah, me. But, yeah, that seems to have been going really well. Everyone seems to love it. Brand new concept. It's fucking good. Nice. We like it. Well done,
we
Josh.
Do like it. No, well done, Pete. Well done, Pete, actually. Because I'm going to be honest with you, he filmed that like a year ago. So
it was a long time ago.
Yeah, he hasn't even watched it.
And I never watched myself, too. I don't like doing that. I'm not.
I've watched more than you have.
Of?
Josh Must Win, because I've watched clips.
Yeah, you probably have, actually. Denise Van Outen
came on it.
Denise Van Outen came on, and she was amazing. I absolutely love Denise Van Outen. She's genuinely, and I actually messaged her this morning saying she's a national treasure. I adore her.
She messaged you...
I messaged her.
Oh, right, okay.
No, yeah. She didn't message me saying I'm a national treasure.
I messaged her
saying she's a national treasure because I absolutely loved Denise. She's fucking amazing. And she was really, really good. And it was just really nice working with my best mate on it. So
let's talk about Vicky Patterson.
Vicky Patterson, yeah.
I'll let him have it.
Who's coming to the show tonight? Exciting. Her mum actually came to Newcastle.
Actually, do you know what? That's quite a good point. When we were talking, we did a bit of press for this tour literally yesterday. And one of the interviewers went, so any big names have come and watched? And we went, no.
Yeah, listen, if people want to come, then come. But one of my pet hates is when you launch something or whatever else, so and all you do is rather than invite people that you actually like, you just invite anyone that's got a blue tick.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucking hate that because it's such a like, oh, this is me and all my friends, just put it on your story, we are. Like, fuck off.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, so we are on tour at the minute. I don't know if we don't like to talk about it and we haven't mentioned it much. If you've seen our social, we've been quite quiet about it because we're just sort of subtly going about our business. However, we are two shows in at time of recording.
Yeah.
This weekend, we're about to do London, Manchester and Cardiff. So
we've got London tonight.
We have got London. First London.
We're a bit nervous because the London crowd apparently is a little bit less
Sam's
vocal.
Sam's been very nervous.
I am. I'm shitting it.
Every show. But tonight specifically because London, you are sometimes quite miserable. But we'll let you know how it goes.
He actually says when we were on the bus on the way down from Glasgow, Pete goes, I'll tell you what, if people are quiet, I'll just be quiet. I went, no, don't do that.
You give me silence, I'll give it to you.
He went, I'll just sit. He was like, okay, I'll just stand on stage and just look at you. And I was like, oh, that's my worst nightmare, is Pete getting pissed off on stage at the audience.
We'll see how the death stare works for you, see if you like it.
And I'm just going to sit there being like, yeah!
So what we thought we'd do for those of you who haven't been on tour or haven't been to any of the shows is we give you a bit of a breakdown of what's been happening, because it has taken up the entire week for us. So if we don't talk about the tour, we have nothing else to talk about.
I can go back in Saturday Night Takeaway if you want.
You can do, but I don't think any of us want to hear any more about it. We watched it.
Well, everybody in love.
We're not doing that again.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you're aware, but it's not even your song.
Do you know what? Actually, we did sing it at one of the shows on the podcast tour.
And why don't we just wait till we get to it?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, right, because much like this goes a lot like the actual tour shows where Sam just sort of just doesn't know what's happening. So should we just crack on with
crack
it?
Crack on.
Excellent. Now, I wanted to do this in a specific way. So I thought I would start with key observations.
Oh, my God, he's written key observations down.
Let's just talk about the bus for a start. Sam, do you want to talk about the bus?
Well, this is where I come into things, because I feel like I'm more of the marketing guy, you know, and I feel like I also have a hand on the purse strings. So, you know,
Sam has no hand on the purse strings whatsoever, has had no part of the budget, had no idea what the budget was going to cost us, what we might make, what things were costing. For example, the screens in Birmingham, because it's such a big venue, have cost us £15,000, right? So I've been through the budget. Me and Chaz on the bus yesterday was talking about the marketing budget, which seems a lot for what we've done. anyway, Sam has no idea. But what Sam wanted to do was wrap the bus. So Sam just went, we'll just take that out of the budget, not knowing that there isn't a lot of budget left. Yeah. Because he wanted to paint the bus.
Yeah, but when you saw it, lost your mind.
I did. I was absolutely mortified, because what Sam has put on the side of the bus is coming in your city.
A little bit of a slogan there.
But it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like we are just going to go round and jizz all over the country. Coming to your city would have been better.
But now we're on stage in Newcastle and Glasgow. I remember going, Newcastle, we're coming in your city. And everyone went, yeah. So actually, the slogans work fucking brilliantly.
Yeah, unintentional. A lot like a lot of what Sam does. It's unintentionally funny. But
Pete's got a bit of an axe to grind on that one.
But yeah, we'll get to that. anyway, let's tell you who was on the bus, because obviously we've got a big 14-seater bus. There's 14 bunk beds. There is a lounge area.
Double-decker.
There's a kitchen. It's double-decker.
Two PlayStations.
Two PlayStations, TVs. Yeah, it's amazing. It's great. So, you know, obviously we've got a lot of people to carry around. So let me just do the roll call. This may take a while. So the people on the bus, we have Jack, who is the amazing bus driver, absolutely fucking great guy. We love Jack.
We do like Jack.
Really, really good. Obviously, I'm on the bus, Sam's on the bus. We've got TV Ted, as he's known in the budget, who is Ted's our videographer. So that's four. We then have Chaz, who is on the bus. She's the only female on the bus. We'll get to that in a bit as well. So basically, there's a great big bus and there's only five of us on it. That was the whole point of that. lovely. So obviously, we've wrapped this tour bus. Now, Jack, who runs or is part of this tour company, and he does tours for lots of people. He's done a big Peter Kay tour. He does it across Europe. He does bands and all sorts of stuff. He has never been harassed as much as what he has been whilst driving our bus, because there are 10-foot Sam and Pete caricatures on the side with coming in your city. He's never been beeped as much.
It's amazing.
To the point where Jack is actually staying on the bus of an evening. We did offer hotels. We're not being horrible. But he likes to stay on the bus.
He actually named his bunk bed on the first night. Did you see that? It said Jack. And then he realised when no one else was sleeping on the bus, he just ripped off and went, well, it's just me.
Yeah, so now he gets to experience any of the bunks because he stays on himself. But the problem Jack has is, because it's so obvious and we've been all over social media saying to people, if you spot us, take a picture. Jack is now sleeping in lay-bys and places on the bus and getting woke up in the middle of the night with people banging on the windows because they think we're potentially sleeping on it. So Jack hasn't had a good night's sleep for the entire trip because he's living in fear of people banging on windows.
There was one time, though, where Pete was up front just talking to Jack, having a nice chat, and didn't the car drive past to start beeping you?
Yeah, there's a lot of people beeping. And what, I spend a lot of time up front with Jack.
He does. I don't know why he shuts the door, because there's like a driver's cockpit.
Yeah.
And he'll shut and lock the door.
I spend a lot of time up front with Jack.
And I have to bang on it and be like, Pete, let me in.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually more, I think it was more to do with Jack, because at one point, Sam, whilst Jack was driving up the M40, came into the cockpit with a air horn. as you can imagine, not great when you're driving. But yeah, so the bus, it's a big thing, isn't it? Obviously, we've got a lot of room on the bus, so there's lots of room to, you know, go and find your own space and whatever else. The five of us sit in the same area together. We literally could all have just sat in a car. And that's how close we are in proximity to each other, despite having all the room. I don't know why we do that.
Actually, every now and then people go, I'm just gonna go upstairs and just take myself away from
Yeah, I have to take myself away to the cockpit or upstairs.
Pete actually slept on the bunk from Glasgow to London. Pete slept on the top bunk, and he has little curtains. The bunk beds have little curtains on it, and he drew the curtains, and I came up and went, Pete, anyway, can you not see the fucking curtains are drawn? As if that's going to stop people.
Well, ordinarily, it probably would, because imagine if you're on tour and someone needs to sleep, then you draw the curtains. That's signalling, fuck off. But not when you're on tour with Sam, no. Drawing the curtains means, why can't I see you?
Yeah, that is why they pulled the curtains back, and why have you just done that?
That must be a mistake. You can't have drawn them on purpose. They must have accidentally fallen. But yeah, the PS4, which I thought Sam would be really excited about, hasn't been used once. Neither has the TVs. Neither has the kitchen. Although we have got a lot of snacks. There was a little bit of a moment yesterday where we wondered what had happened, because we found out alcohol had been going missing.
Yeah, and it's like, and no one knew Pete. I was like, wait, sorry, tour manager Luke, who we call Beardy, we're going to come on to that, I'm sure, but like he was like, boys, there's been like a like something's happened. He was like, almost like a crate of Guinness has gone missing from the tour bus. And I went, you've been with us for three,
Beardy
4 days
came up to
now.
Me. So we call Beardy. It's really original because he's got a big beard. But he
great
is,
guy.
He is amazing. Me and Beardy have developed a very close relationship, I believe.
They won't let me fully into their friendship group.
Well, it's not that.
Like on the outskirts.
It's me and Beardy and Ted, actually. We like to go for drinks together during the tour. Sam goes to bed.
Mate, it's like 11 o'clock. And Pete's like, oh, mate, let's just go celebrate for a couple. I know what that means to Pete. And then actually, poor TV Ted, on the first night in Newcastle, came down bleary-eyed the next day. And I went, there you go, you've just been
wicked. No, he didn't. He didn't. We had a couple. I actually have been feeling quite ill because I'm sort of going cold turkey a little bit.
No, you're not. He's having eight a day.
On stage. But I've not been drinking as much. I've been going to bed at about 1 o'clock, which I just don't think is good for my health.
Oh, we shared an apartment at one stage.
Well, that was terrible. Yeah.
I heard Pete get back, and I literally was like, I'm awake, and Pete's got back. It's like the girlfriend who goes, oh, he's back. Now he's safe and sound. I feel okay.
One person who I think deserves a big mention, though, is Beardy, because Beardy is just amazing. Like, he's genuinely been so, so good.
Yeah.
Everything, like, he's so efficient. He's great, isn't he? However, he's a weird guy. And I'll tell you why he's a weird guy. So on one of the nights, me and Beardy, because Beardy's kind of, me and Beardy hang around a little bit together and have a beer and whatnot. And on the first night, I believe, Beardy and I went for a little beer after the show. And we were outside, and I looked around to say, oh, do you want a cigarette, Beardy? And as I did that, he was just putting something into his pocket. I went, what the fuck's that? It looks like a Tamagotchi. It is a Tamagotchi. Beardy carries a Tamagotchi with him that he's been keeping alive during the tour. Beardy, I don't know how old he is, but I'm going to say over 30. And it's a genuine Tamagotchi.
I rate it massively, actually. I saw it on the bus for the first time.
But he'd obviously been keeping it to himself for 2 days until we noticed and I told everyone. Now he openly just feeds his Tamagotchi in front of us.
So, wait a minute, when you got to do what you got to do, man. Like, yeah, I get it.
To the point where yesterday he actually went to me, look, it's getting big. So that was weird, but now he openly just gets the Tamagotchi out.
What I was gonna say is, actually, when we turn up to venues, this is so cool. They're like, a lot of the time there are people already queuing outside, so we rock up in the bus and it does sometimes get a little bit manic out there. Like, we open the doors and there are a couple of screams going on, and Pete gets like sort of touched.
There's a difference between the demographic and how they react to us. So the demographic for Sam just mob him because they want a Sam hug, and they all just think that Sam's like their child / sort of little brother type thing. Mine sort of stay back a little bit and then whisper weird things in my ears.
What's the weirdest thing you've had so far? Other than the pants thrown on stage.
Oh, there was a really good one actually the other day that when the girl said, I wish I was your beard. So this is, as we turned up to the thing, she went, I wish I was your beard. And I said, what? And she went, because I'd love to sit on your face. So that was fun.
Wow.
All the while, Sam is just singing Everybody in Love.
I'm singing Everybody in Love.
So it's a bit, it's a slightly...
the contrast is amazing.
It's a slightly weird demographic. So yeah, it's been interesting. But these are all the kind of key observations. Also, there's a lovely toilet on the bus, which we developed a rule of no shitting in.
It's a tough rule to follow, that one.
But actually, the problem with the bus is that when you're having a piss and it's moving, it makes you feel drunk. Because the only time that I stand and piss like this...
Yeah, you're holding the wall. It's so true.
...is when I'm drunk. So you have to do that. And then you generally have to... What I do, but you always know when Sam's been in there because there's piss all over the floor.
It's so hard. Then you can't mop up, though, because you can't use the loo roll.
You can. You just put it in the bin.
Oh,
is there a
bin?
You just don't flush the loo roll. There's a whole bin there.
I've just been leaving wee on the seat.
Yeah. And the floor. So,
really, no, it is hard to pee.
No, it is, but you clean up after yourself.
I'm learning.
Listen, it's just tour etiquette. That's all I
was going to go for a number two, and then Pete had to stop me from going in. And he was like, no, you can't do that. He got really angry at me.
But yeah, no, it was good. The social aspect of the tour has been going well, not as well as it could do, but I'm going to change that this weekend because I've just given myself a new title of social secretary. But the first night in Newcastle, there was a few drinks. Drinks were had by some.
I had drinks. I had a Guinness on stage.
That was in Glasgow.
I had a few sips.
We're not talking about on stage, Sam. We're talking about the camaraderie between the team.
The camaraderie between the team.
You know, trying to develop a tight team bond.
We have a really tight team bond. We're mad tight.
We do, all of us. And then there's you.
No, me and producer Charlotte. We go on our runs.
No, you've not been on one run together.
I have. I've been on a run.
You've got to start listening. You've not been on one run together.
Yeah, but we bond over it.
Well, you don't really. She goes, I went for a run this morning. You go, so do I. And then you move on.
I've only been on one.
I wouldn't say that's the biggest bond.
Yeah, but I get so exhausted by the end of it. I'm knackered. And I'm literally like, I don't know how you're going to go out after. Also, you took the team to a club on a Tuesday after a bank holiday weekend, right, where the Monday was off. He took them to a club which had 5 people in it. What's the point in that?
Because it's about us. It's not where you go. It's the people you go with, Sam.
Oh, fuck off. And no, it's to satiate your need for a fucking boozer.
No, we had a really fucking lovely time. Really enjoyed ourselves, and it was actually very, very good.
I just know you more than the others do.
No, I don't think you do, actually, because you don't spend any time with me unless you're being paid. And that's how it feels. Anyway, some other little bits that are just really quick for observation-wise. Like I said, team bonding has been really good. Producer Chaz and I, we took our friendship to a new level on night one during half-time, or the interval, or whatever you want to call it.
Half-time.
Because I came off stage and Chaz was really, really excited. She gave me a little hug and then I went to walk off and she slapped my ass.
No way! Shut up! Wow! And no, if you don't know Charlotte, she's a very, very, like, you know, how do I say, you're like a very, very clean cut sort of like girl next
really,
door.
Really, really sweet. Chaz sits behind camera, blushes and holds her clipboard above her face.
Yeah.
And doesn't say anything wrong.
Dude, she'd be a prefect at school.
But let me tell you what happens after this. So Chaz slaps my ass.
Did she panic?
Oh, about 2 hours later, she comes up to me and goes, Pete, can I just have a word?
Shut up.
And I say, yeah, what's wrong? And she goes, I can't stop thinking about it. I'm so sorry about earlier on. And I went, what do you mean? She went, like the me touching your bum. And I went, well, it's fine. Don't worry about it. She went, I'm sorry if you think that was inappropriate.
Oh, shut up.
And I was like, I haven't really thought about it.
You slap my ass anytime you like.
And
mate,
I was like,
I haven't had one. I'm a bit pissed off.
I said to her, I haven't really thought about it. And she was just like, it's just, I've just been worrying about it. And I was like, Chaz, you're good. Don't worry about it.
It's all the adrenaline, though, isn't it? When you come off stage, you just want to sort of like, go, come on.
Yeah.
See, I will tell you a little something about Charlotte that I don't like. Okay. Yeah, I will. I'm going to tell you something that me and Pete.
See what
both
I mean?
Know.
I've just gone for the team bonding and how close we're all getting. Sam's coming in with the.
No, this is actually fucking on. But Charlotte knows this about herself because she brought it up on her own. She was stewing on this for a couple of days. Is that we, because a lot, most people who come to the shows, they've obviously listened to the podcast and we're very grateful that they know, like, you know, they know Pete's Monday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, they know all of that. So they shout back and stuff. And so Pete was like mentioned producer Charlotte, producer Chaz. And everyone went, yeah. She went, come on, Charlotte, get on stage. I've never seen a more scuttly person in my life. She literally went, she refused to for 10 seconds, which completely lowered the vibe. And then scuttled like a little hermit crab on, did one wave and then bounced back off. And she really needs to get better at that.
So
actually,
the second night, Sam did the same thing and she was a little bit more forthcoming. But then what happened was after the show, when we were kind of doing a debrief of how we got on and we was like, listen, you know, this could be better or this could be better or I think that bit went really well. Charlotte came in with, I've been thinking about my bit. And
my bit. She's in the show now.
Like, I've been thinking about my bit and I'm going to get better. Like, what is it that I can do? And I thought, we're literally going and producer Chaz is here, wave. There's not much else we want you to do. And so what I potentially am going to do, and she needs to be prepared for this, is I'm now going to tell people that Charlotte has been dancing for years and likes to express herself through interpretive dance. So she likes to express herself in how she feels through interpretive dance. So at some point you may see Chaz put on the spot where she's going to have to do some sort of interpretive dance.
God, I can't wait.
So yeah, other little bits is that I struggled on the first couple of days of the tour because I'd packed for the tour and I'd packed all my stage outfits and everything in different parts. Saffron, you okay?
He's a thespian now.
Well, listen.
We've lost him to theatre.
darling. But what I did forget was my shampoo. So there was a bit of a mad run around shops trying to find the right shampoo because I can't use hotel shampoo because it's not good for my hair. So that was a bit of a struggle. There was a few things we had to pick up. Sam, you've been good as gold.
I've been all right, mate. Yeah, I've really sort of packed. Well, Zara actually packed for me.
Zara packed for him. She actually bought him a new shirt for his first show.
She did, and I wore it, but it chafed the nipples, and that was a real fucking problem.
Because it had some sort of embroidery, which I think was just rubbing on the tit.
It was, and I was literally like, God, this is not a good time to happen on the first show, like it's really hurting. We got through that and it was really fucking fun, but the tour's going absolutely splendid.
It is. I think I have some sort of OCD type obsessions with things.
Oh, well, you're just finding that out now. Literally, if I change a singular thing on the show, he's like, well, that wasn't scripted. That was meant to happen.
Well, because Sam hasn't read any of it and doesn't know what the fuck's happening, so Sam just does his own thing. So we just have to adapt, generally.
Adapt or die.
Yeah, it's literally just adapt. But I've developed an obsession with my lanyard.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've got AAA accreditation, which means that I can go anywhere within the theatres. I haven't taken it off since Monday. I've actually slept in it twice by accident.
And at one point, actually, I must have picked up Pete's lanyard and he was sitting in my room and he was freaking out. He was like, where's my lanyard? It's like, we don't need one, mate. We're going to be okay.
Which is why I've started sleeping in it. So then I've always got it because the 3 or 4 hours that I didn't have it, I didn't feel right. It didn't feel like I was really on tour. So I don't tour unless I have a lanyard. Anyway, let's get on to the specific shows. Newcastle. Sam and I did something a bit rogue in the day. We got tattooed.
Yeah, we did, baby. Come on.
The second time Sam and I have been tattooed together, the first time we got each other's faces, and this time we really went all in on all eggs in one basket with this podcast, and we got staying relevant.
So if this fucks up, we've just got our failures just written on our skin.
Yes. Yeah, it's Sam went delicate with his.
I ain't got delicate. Mine's on the wrist. You said it was pinchy.
It would have been if you'd had it on your wrist, but you moved it because he worried that it was a bit pinchy.
Well, no, it's because Pete freaked me out before I got it. I was going to get it across my wrist. And also, mine's a bit large as well. Actually, Pete's enormous.
Sorry, it's a bit large.
Yeah, but still.
Basically, when the guy had drawn these tattoos out for us, Sam went, it could be maybe a little bit smaller.
It's still enormous. It's huge.
It's not really huge, is it?
Fucking isn't it? Really hurt.
I went, because I didn't have a lot of space, I went for above the knee, and mine's quite filled in and dark. But yeah, we've really got, I mean, I can't even cover that. So that started well. Now, the biggest surprise, Sam asked for people to throw things on stage during the tour, and we did get that in Newcastle, didn't we?
We absolutely did. I got a pair of pants on my side, and I was like, "Oh, for me." And then one of the girls shouted, "It's for Pete, but I can't get to him." And I went, "Ah." And it was a really nice silk pair of green panties.
Yep.
And I was so, because do you remember we said on the podcast, we were like, guys, if you have any spares, I said, if you've got any spares, chuck them on. And so we got a bra, well, Pete got a bra and a pair of pants, but in the bra was written, "Call my mum," and it's got her number on it. A big, big pair of, it was like a big breast size, cup size, that's the one. It was like like at least an E. And I was like, fuck, because she's managed to get the entire wording of call my mum and the number next to it.
In bubble writing.
Yeah.
So yeah, really, really good. But yeah, and I may potentially call mum.
We actually also now put that in the vault. So we've stored the underwear.
At the end of tour, we're going to have a lost property of underwear.
And we're going to put it on a washing line here.
So look forward to that. If you wonder what happens, we do ask though, if you are going to throw underwear at Sam or myself, then please make sure that they are clean and not soiled.
Yeah. And they have been so far.
Yeah. Yeah. They have been so far. Which is good.
But you're listening and that's what I love.
We can also go, whilst we're talking of weird things being thrown around and the merch, we've got merch. Which we've been selling, which has been going well.
Yeah.
Not many people are interested in the However t-shirts, which is weird because you all bullied me about that for 3 months.
And then on top of that,
and then when it comes to me making money off something you bully me for, you go, fuck you. So thanks for that.
But what you did enjoy.
We had thousands of them.
What you did enjoy was the Pete Wicks dishy cloths.
The dishy cloths.
Which did really well.
There's tea towels with Sam's face and my face. I've got the ratio of sales here. We are currently selling 4-1 in favour of me on the dishcloths.
So what is that, like 90-10?
No. Come on. You can do this.
What's 4-1 in percentages?
You can do this.
40-10.
Sam, you can do this.
I'm freaking out.
Come on, you can do this.
60-40.
Sam, you can do this.
Help me. How about that? How about you fucking help me?
Go one more.
50-10.
80-20.
Thank you, yes.
Oh, 80-20. So,
why did you say that like you weren't sure?
80-20. I'm happy with 20, to be honest with you, because, look, I've never
that
been...
That doesn't mean we've only sold 100. That just means ratio-wise.
But that means...
Because we haven't sold 100.
I've sold 20% of dishy cloths. Mate, by the way, Pete's photo is that one he's got written up there on his picture. It's his in calendar years. I didn't have any calendar years.
No, but we have got one from a couple of years ago of yours, and it looks a little bit like... It looks a little bit like you've died. It's like an obituary photo.
I know. All it needs is a bit of black and white in it, and it's gone but not forgotten.
It's really, 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 really odd. Sam has been looking very smart on stage. I'm going to say that.
You've been making cards.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you have. You've made an effort. You have been looking really, really good. What are you doing?
I'm just reading the cards.
Why bother now?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Actually, there was a point in one of the shows...
Why start now?
...where I threw the cards away and I saw Pete's face go, oh, we're fucked. And then he kicked my cards when he was on the stage. He booted him.
Yeah, because it's absolutely ridiculous. In fact, whilst we're on this, just a couple of notes that have got me a little
bit rolled up. This has really fucked Pete off, by the way.
Is that I've spent months trying to make this show as best I can with Chaz and everyone else, and it's been hard. It's been hard work. Sam calls me this morning and says, what I've decided, mate, is I'm just not going to listen to anything. I'm just going to do what I want, because I saw one comment of someone going, the best part of the show is Sam spinning on his chair. So I've spent all this time doing it, and all people want to see is just it's like being at a zoo. It's just watching the monkey perform.
Yeah, it was great for me though, because I'm terrified about learning my sort of bits, right?
He does. And by the way, right, whilst we're on this and Sam's is learning my bits, he has two sections where he has to read a card that big, and that's all I've asked him to do. That's it. The rest of the time I say, go fly. But he doesn't even want to do them bits anymore. He doesn't even want to do the two little cards that I have for him to do.
He did kick my cards, though, on the stage, and that felt like a little bit spiteful to me.
Well, you're lucky it wasn't your fucking head, if I'm honest with you. But... on that note, you know, we said at the start of this as a joke that should the tour go well, despite, you know, everything that I've tried to do for it, Sam will take all the credit. I said that as a joke until I saw the press. Pete Wicks gets tattooed in Newcastle before Sam Thompson tour opens. So all I've done on this tour is get tattoos going to support my mate on his tour.
To be honest with you, it's going well. I'm really enjoying my tour that I've done nothing for, that I throw the cards onto the stage for and just go, don't worry, mate, I'll just fly around. I have a lightsaber. That's quite fun, actually. I just sort of fuck around with a lightsaber and a sorting hat.
Yeah, that's not the only press that hasn't been great for me during this tour. I'll be honest with you. Obviously, for Sam, it's been brilliant. Obviously. Drive You Crazy. This is The Opposite of the Moon, that publication that I absolutely love because they're so good at journalism. Towie's Pete Wicks loses it at service station. This was just a funny little video that Sam did of me saying, put the megaphone down as he announced me into the service station for a piss. Right? They put Pete Wicks loses it as if I've completely lost the plot. They've then gone on to talk about how the tour's going. However, the pair had a hilarious spat as Sam pulled on a tartan bunnet. Is that what you call it? A bunnet? Anyway, and honked an air horn in Pete's face. Then it goes on to say, the bearded fitness guru looked unimpressed and tried to confiscate the blaring device.
Fitness guru?
Sorry, wait. Essex lad Joe then muttered to Sam, it's fucking noisy. He's confused me with Joe Wicks halfway in between.
Oh my God.
It gets
That's
better.
The best thing I've ever
better.
Heard.
It gets better. He's then gone back to calling me Pete because he's just, obviously he's remembered then. Pete also started his career in reality television but became a household name during COVID after launching a series of viral fitness videos. Then, so starts the sentence with my name but then confuses me again with Joe Wicks.
So Joe Wicks had a great tour alongside
Pete
Sam
Wicks
Thompson.
Went and got tattooed and Joe Wicks and Sam Thompson's tour's going really well. So that's been great.
The megaphone has actually been a real winner.
I'm so glad I spent fucking 4 months working. I should have just spun on a chair and fucking done a burpee on stage and everyone.
Oh yeah, I did a burp and everyone went wild for it.
No, a burpee because of the fitness.
Oh right, okay, yeah. But I did do a burp though, didn't I? And people went mad.
Well, they didn't go mad. You tried to down a pint of Guinness on the first night, got halfway through, and then spent the next 5 minutes just burping through the mic.
And that's my bit.
And everyone was like, oh God, he's so funny. Look at the way he burps. That was literally what was happening. Anyway.
No, talk about the megaphone.
So we left Newcastle and went on to Glasgow.
Doesn't like the megaphone.
Glasgow.
Doesn't like people going away from his cars.
Well, go on, talk about the megaphone.
I bought a megaphone to the trip. And day one, services was incredibly fun. I really enjoyed it. Pete hid around the corner whilst we were on the megaphone. And...
Well, keep talking. Keep.
Okay, so Pete was behind on the megaphone, and what's I don't know what's going on.
Sorry, I'm just doing what you do when I'm talking, just see if it gets any laughs. Fucking joke. Fucking joke.
I thought he was acting out him hiding behind the wall.
That's literally what happens. Honestly, that's literally, he just jumps around and everyone goes, God, that's fucking great. Glasgow, we got to Glasgow and we decided we would try and get some kilts.
We did.
So we decided we would get some kilts and the hotel in Glasgow were amazing. They were so, so good. Is it Radisson?
Yeah, they were
Radisson
awesome.
Blue. They were amazing. So the kind of concierge guy there, John, we said, is there any way we can go and get some kilts? We want to try and get some kilts for tonight. And he went, I'll sort it. Took measurements from us, phoned a kilt place and got them delivered within an hour and a half. And I am going to be honest with you, I like kilts. I think I look good in a kilt. I'm tempted to buy one. Sam looked like a St. Trinian. He looked like a schoolgirl. We had some issues with whether he should be tucked or untucked with the T-shirt top thing. We went with untucked, didn't we, Sam?
We did go with untucked. To be honest with you, I always bought the wrong shoes. I was wearing white shoes with
Sam looked
kilt.
Like he was potentially about to just go and play hockey.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I was panicking, actually, in this... This was actually in between having a nervous poo as well. So that was terrifying, which actually Pete didn't like, weirdly. I don't understand that. We were just sharing a fucking dressing room, trying to get on and trying to bond.
Well, I'll tell you why I didn't like it, because I was putting on my kilt at the time and admiring myself in the mirror. And Sam went, please come here. So I walked back into the room, and it's not a big room. They just had like a little cove bit where the mirror was. I go back in and Sam is fully squeezing one out with the door wide open to the point where he went, I'm just a bit nervous. Blip,
I wanted to have a pre-game chat about what we were going to do coming up.
Which he could have done in the hour we were in the dressing room beforehand, but he decided to wait until he was fucking curling a log out with the door wide open.
Yeah, actually, Luke, tour manager Luke at that point, was literally like, oh, this is going to be intense. But Pete is right. It completely knocked me off focus, so I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I looked absolutely awful in this kilt. And I understand that I'm not the best looking guy in the world. Pete's the eye candy, I get it.
No. It's got nothing to do with looks. That's a style.
Style thing, right? I understand I'm not very stylish, but fuck me, it was really tough.
Let me tell you,
producer Charlotte, who's quite nice, came in. Bear in mind, we're going to go on in 10 minutes, right? Producer Charlotte comes in and goes, fuck me, you look terrible. And I'm in front of the mirror, literally being like, I don't think I can go out.
Let me tell you why. Because it was actually a really beautiful kilt.
The kilt was lovely.
But the problem we had is that Sam had decided, whilst we were leaving the hotel with the kilts to get changed at the theatre, that he would pair a kilt with a Star Wars t-shirt. That may have been a mistake. I did say to him, have you not got like a nice like shirt or something you can wear with it, like a plain shirt? Because he had a little check on his. But he thought, no, I'm going to go Air Force Ones and Star Wars t-shirt. So I don't think it's the kilt's fault. I think it may be a choice that you made.
But then we got that little bag, can't remember what it's called.
A sporran.
And that was fun. And that sort of covered up a little bit of it. And actually, when we went out, I felt quite good because we went in socks as well.
And he felt so good. And Sam really enjoyed it. I mean, he did call it a purse on stage in Glasgow, which didn't go down well.
Yeah, that wasn't
good. But Sam enjoyed the sporran because he kept snacks in it for on stage. So he pulled out a caramel whilst on stage and just started having a little nibble on that, which, as you can imagine, the audience loved. But yeah, I think Glasgow was probably my favourite one.
I couldn't pick.
No,
I couldn't
of course. Pick. Stay on the fence.
Well, no, purely because I think they both had like different amazing bits about them. I think the first show, like I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And the crowd, like you never, on your first show, you have no idea whether they're going to like even like you or not. And we stepped off the bus and everyone was queuing and waiting. It was really awesome. And then we went on. And, like, the crowd was amazing. Even our videographer was like, I've, like, never seen anything like that. It was so cool. And we're obviously incredibly grateful. So the first night, for that reason, I thought was so memorable. And then Glasgow, I think Pete had nailed down exactly what we were doing a little bit more. And there was a bit more structure in the show.
Does he know that he's insulting me every time he speaks?
What have I done?
Carry on.
And so there's a bit more structure there. And I feel like, you know, that it sort of worked a little bit more in our favour.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Pete?
Doesn't matter what I think. I enjoyed them both very much. They're the two smallest theatres of the tour so far. So
which is terrifying.
Which is, it is terrifying because it was so intense, but it genuinely couldn't have gone any better than it has done so far. So let's hope we don't fucking up. But they were both quite wild crowds. Tonight we have London, which I'm expecting to be quite miserable. But Manchester and Cardiff are going to be good.
We actually have, Pete has some contingency plans, though, if things start going wrong.
Yes, there's contingencies for everything. Not that it matters. Excited for the rest of the week. I'm actually really excited about this weekend. We have an after party tomorrow night.
That's what Pete's actually excited about. He's managed to book a club.
In Manchester for the teams. There will be team after party. And then Beardy told me about something that happens with tour buses, which is at the end of a run, you have a bus party, which means that people on the tour bus, everyone on the tour bus has a party. That sounds great. The problem that I have is that there's five of us who are going to be crowded round a crate of Guinness and a basket of McCoy's crisps. And that is going to be our bus party.
And pepperamis.
And pepperamis. Well, you haven't really eaten many.
I haven't. Do you know what? I've had a dicky tummy this whole time. It's just a nervous stomach thing. But I haven't really tucked into any of my stuff. I didn't know that was a thing, though.
Yeah, but Beardy said that's what we're going to do. So we will be doing a bus party on the last day of having tour bus, which I'm really excited about. Because basically, you can just get really pissed and then sleep. Just there and then. You can just drop down, which is nice.
Draw the curtains, you're off.
Draw the curtains, and yeah, job done. So that's the tour so far.
And it's going really well so far.
Outro then. Go on then. Take it away.
No, Pete.
Please take it away.
No.
I think you can do this.
I don't think I can.
I have got faith in you.
Thank you so much for listening. Staying Relevant, the podcast with two bestest best pals, Peter James Wicks and Sam Robert DeCourcy Thompson. It's been an absolute pleasure. We are on tour. We are loving it. And keep following us on the socials, YouTube, TikTok, Snappy C. I think it's at Staying Relevant for all of them. And please keep reviewing because I read every single one of them. and we're just having a really, really good time. So thank you. We're incredibly grateful. I think I can speak for both of us when I say that it is so awesome to see you sort of
overwhelming. Out.
Yeah, it really is. So thank you so much for caring. And we're not stopping anytime soon, baby.
Staying Relevant was an Insanity Studios production.